This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to Jesus, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to Jesus, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So this week, we hear the tearful reunion of Joseph and his brothers. After more than 20 years apart, these brothers are finally reunited. And when it happens, their reunion is just full of emotion. Joseph weeps so loudly that people in other rooms, people in Pharaoh's household, can hear him. Joseph and Benjamin fall upon each other's necks and just weep as they embrace. Joseph kisses all of his other brothers and weeps upon them, and they spend the entire night talking and catching up. It is like a Hallmark movie. It is as if Joseph just flipped some sort of forgiveness switch and everything is fine. Joseph reunited with his brothers at last. The same brothers who 20 years prior plotted Joseph's murder and then settled for selling him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. The same brothers who brought a bloodied cloak back to their father to tell Jacob that his favorite son, Joseph, was dead. jumping to our reading today makes it seem like Joseph just flipped some sort of forgiveness switch and everything is totally fine. I don't know about all of you, but I don't find forgiveness that easy. I don't have some kind of forgiveness switch that I can flip, and in an instant, everything is just totally fine. And the truth is that Joseph did not either. Between last week's reading and this week's, we are missing some crucial parts of Joseph's forgiveness journey. After more than 20 years apart, Joseph's brothers appear in his life for the first time. And Joseph, he recognizes them instantly. They do not recognize Joseph at all, which is not surprising when we consider that in 20 years of living in Egypt, Joseph was quite different from the 17-year-old brother they sold into slavery. Joseph adopted Egyptian styles of dress. Genesis tells us that he used an interpreter to speak to his brothers, speaking the Egyptian language instead of Hebrew. And Joseph has stepped into a position of power in Egypt, governor of the land, the very last place that his brothers would have expected to find him. Joseph knows exactly who his brothers are, but his brothers do not know him. So presented with these brothers who had hurt him so much, Joseph is filled with difficult emotions. We're told that he speaks harshly with his brothers, and it is clear that he does not trust them. He accuses them of being spies and throws them into prison for 3 days. Joseph tells them that if they want to prove their honesty, then they need to go home, retrieve their youngest brother, and bring him to Joseph. You see, in the 20 years that Joseph has been away, his father Jacob and his mother Rachel have had a second son, Joseph's only full-blooded sibling, Benjamin. Benjamin, being the son of his old age, is Jacob's favorite child, just as Joseph was once his father's favorite. So Joseph demands that Benjamin be brought to him. With no other choice, the brothers go home, they retrieve Benjamin, and they return to Egypt. And upon their return, Joseph throws a banquet. And while his brothers drink and be merry, Joseph has one of his servants sneak a silver cup into Benjamin's bag. Now the next morning, the brothers set out on their way, and Joseph sends this same servant after them to accuse them of thievery. The servant catches the brothers and says that whoever has Joseph's silver cup in their bag will be taken into slavery. So, one by one, starting with the eldest and ending with the youngest, the servant searches the brothers' bags. And lo and behold, what does he find? The silver cup in Benjamin's bag. Benjamin is brought before Joseph, but before he can be punished and enslaved, his brothers, all of them, fall to the ground at Joseph's feet. And it is Judah who steps forward to speak. The very same Judah who 20 years prior devised the plan to sell Joseph into slavery. Judah steps forward and begs Joseph take me instead. He seeks to sacrifice himself to save his youngest brother from slavery. It is only then that Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and falls upon their necks in tears. It is only then that the tearful reunion of the brothers occurs. The full story of Joseph's forgiveness journey is a far cry from a Hallmark movie. It is a far cry from some kind of forgiveness switch that you can flip and suddenly everything is totally fine. For more than 20 years, Joseph has been grappling with the pain and the betrayal and the grief that his brothers put him through. I mean, he names his firstborn son Manasseh, meaning making to forget. For, as scripture tells us, Joseph said, God has made me forget all my hardships and all my father's house. His second son he named Ephraim, meaning to be fruitful. For Joseph said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my misfortune. I don't know if you name your kids after your hardships and misfortunes, if you have forgotten those hardships and misfortunes. And from the way that Joseph tests his brothers, it is pretty clear he has not forgotten, and I don't think he has yet forgiven. Forgiveness is not something that just happens for Joseph. He has to work through it. And before he reveals his identity to his brothers, he has to decide if he wants to be in relationship with them again. I think that's why he tests them. He wants to know, are these the same brothers who sold their youngest brother into slavery? He wants to know if they will do the same thing to Benjamin that they did to him. And it is only after they show that they have changed that Joseph reveals his identity and chooses to be their brother again. Before he is ready to forgive, Joseph has a lot to work through. And before he is ready to be in relationship with the family that abused him, Joseph needs to know that he will be safe with them again, that they have changed, that they won't hurt him again like they did before. My siblings, far from having a forgiveness switch that he can flip in a second, Joseph takes more than 20 years to work on forgiveness and some complicated testing before he is ready for a relationship with his brothers again. There is no forgiveness switch that we can flip, and everything is just totally fine. Forgiveness is a journey. It takes time, it takes prayer, it takes healing, it takes work, a commitment to work through that pain and that suffering that we carry. And when we have been really hurt, it can take time, a long time even, before we're ready to be in relationship again. And the truth is that in some cases, it might never be safe to be in relationship again with the people who have abused us. And I think that is where we can find so much grace in Joseph's story. God does not expect Joseph to flip some fictional forgiveness switch. God does not say to Joseph, before I am willing to work through you and do all of these things, you have to meet this forgiveness requirement and let go of everything your brothers did. Instead, God is patiently and steadfastly by Joseph's side throughout his entire life. God guides Joseph. God helps him to find new life in the land of Egypt. God calls Joseph to use his gifts for the good of others. God places new people in Joseph's life who love him and have compassion for him. And in all of this, God gives Joseph space to heal and journey towards forgiveness. Steadfast love of God, that is what guides Joseph in being in a place where he can finally extend that steadfast love to his brothers. It doesn't just happen. Joseph works through it, and God guides him along the way. That is forgiveness. It's when we are able to extend that steadfast love of God to the people who have hurt us. And it doesn't usually just happen as if we flip a forgiveness switch. We work on it. So, my siblings, when we have been hurt, God does not expect us to flip a forgiveness switch. God does not expect us to dive into a Hallmark movie where suddenly everything is perfect. Instead, God is with us, patiently and steadfastly by our side through our lives. God guides us. God gives us new life. God calls us to use our gifts to love others. God places people and love and compassion in our lives. Most of all, God gives us the space to heal and to journey towards that forgiveness and maybe even to restoration of relationship when it's right. Through God's steadfast love, God guides us to a place where, like Joseph, we can extend the steadfast love of forgiveness. Amen.